Hi, and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning the Tractate of Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the bottom of Chet Amud Bet, that's Daf 8b, and we are starting a new Mishnah just about six lines up from the bottom. As we've mentioned, we have a series of Mishnayot which are of a similar theme. They have nothing to do with Purim or with the reading of the Megillah, but they all take two things that are very similar to each other, let's say Shabbat and Yom Tov, and they say they're almost identical, except there's one difference between them, and this is the difference. One of the problems with our Mishnahs is that they're generally identifying one or two distinctions between them, and if we look hard, we can find other distinctions. So the Mishnah is not really trying to say this is the only difference between these two things. It is saying here is a specific difference between them, and these other items that you might think are different between them are really identical. I'll show you how that works as we go. This is our second to last one of these. We have this one and one more, and then we go back to Purim and the Megillah. So here's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says actually something that will be extremely surprising to most of us. Ein bein sfarim letfilin umezuzot. There are no distinctions between sfarim, which in Hebrew means books, but here we mean specifically Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll. And it doesn't only refer to Torah scroll, it means Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, anything in Tanakh, any of the holy books. But that are written in a scroll, and tefillin and mezuzot. Now these three items, Torah scroll, tefillin, which have parchments inside the boxes, and mezuzah, which has a parchment inside the case on your doorway, these are the three things that scribes write. And generally speaking, they have an acronym for them. They call them stam, sefer, Torah, mezuzah. These are the three things that have to generally be written in Torah script on parchments by a scribe. So we're saying they're very similar to each other, and there are no differences between them. Ella, except for, shehasfarim nichtavim b'chol lashon. Torah scrolls may be written in any language. That may surprise you, as neither you nor I have ever seen a Torah scroll written in anything other than Hebrew. But that's what the Mishnah says. On the other hand, tefillin u'mezuzot enan nichtavot ella ashurit. Tefillin and mezuzot cannot be written in anything other than ashurit. Now, ashurit literally means Assyrian. There is no Assyrian language, but the way that our Torah scrolls are written in the square Hebrew script, that's what we call Ktav Ashurit, which is Assyrian script, but it's the Hebrew language. So that's further confusing because what we're saying is that they have to only be written in the Assyrian script of Hebrew, but Torah scrolls can be written in other languages, but we're comparing languages to script, so we'll have to try and unpack that as we go. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rashbag, that abbreviation is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, he says, Af besfarim, even Torah scrolls, lo hitiru, they did not permit them to be written in all languages, that they should be written, ella yivanit, except for in Greek. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is limiting it. He's saying you can't write a Torah scroll in any language you want, to English, Italian, whatever. You can only write it in Hebrew or in Greek. So the first opinion is you can write it in any language. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says you can write it in Hebrew and Greek. And Torah and tefillin and mezuzot, by contrast, which Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel doesn't say anything about, but according to our Mishnah, can only be written in Hebrew script and only in the square Assyrian Hebrew script that we call Ashurit. Okay, so the Gemara, as it always does, is going to identify, if this is the difference between them, what are the similarities that you're trying to mention? And it mentions two similarities between Torah scrolls, tefillin, and mezuzot. Ha, litofran begidin, they are equal related to stitching and to causing the hands to become impure. So the stitching is a halacha that you have to use the sinews of a kosher animal for any stitching related to these holy objects that are called Tashmishei Kedusha. So in a Torah scroll, you have sheets of parchment that are stitched together. That stitching has to be done with kosher sinew. In tefillin, you have the boxes of the tefillin have to be sewn shut with sinew. The same thing is true. Mezuzah, it's unclear what they mean since you don't usually need to use sinew for mezuzah. The Ritva suggests that maybe if the mezuzah scroll gets torn, you would sew it back together with a sinew. Or if you had written the sections of the mezuzah on separate parchments, you could sew them together as well, but not sure what that means. Okay, and the other one is Metamei Teyadayim, which we spoke about before, that when something is written correctly, and it's one of the holy books, then it has the idea that it's holy means that when you touch it, your hands become impure, and then you're not allowed to touch a holy food like truma until you purify them. So it's a sign of their holiness. Okay, so those two things are the same. Both Torah scrolls, tefillin, and mezuzot are holy, and they need sinews. Now, we're going to try to understand what this possibly means that you can write a Torah scroll in different languages. So we're at three lines up from the bottom in the two dots. Usfarim nichtavim b'chol lashon. Torah scrolls can be written in any language. Ura minhu. I'm going to bring you a contradiction. Instead of just saying, that's crazy, you can't write a Torah in other languages, we're going to bring another Mishnah that seems to indicate the opposite. And this is a Mishnah in the Mishnah tractate of Yadayim, which is about the purity of the hands, not as popular a tractate as Megillah. But here's what it says there. It says, Mikra shektavo targum, if you have a section of scripture, mikra always means a text of the Torah, Nevi'im, or Ketuvim. So if you have something that's written in Tanakh that is written in Aramaic translation, because targum, translation, always means Aramaic, or if you have a section written in Aramaic, like an Aramaic translation of the Torah, like Onkelos, or perhaps we're referring to some Aramaic words that appear in Tanakh. There are sections in Tanakh and even in the Torah that are written in Aramaic. So if you have an Aramaic word in the Torah, which we'll come back to, or let's say in the book of Daniel, shekatavo mikra, and instead of writing it in its Aramaic, you substitute the Hebrew word for it, uktav ivri, or if you have something written in the Hebrew script. Now, Hebrew script is contrasted with what we call the Assyrian script. So the Assyrian script is the print Torah letters that we find in our Torah scrolls. The Hebrew script is a much more sort of hieroglyphic type or less stylized type of script that is the ancient Hebrew writing. I put an example of both Assyrian and Hebrew script on the vocab sheet if you take a look at it. Eino mitamei tayadayim, these things are not holy, and therefore they do not make the hands impure. Okay. Ad sheyichtevenu, until they are written, biktav ashurit, in Assyrian script, as we discussed, the block script, al hasefer, on a parchment. That's how we define a book, is that it's written on a parchment. Ubidio, and with the specific ink that you use to write Torah scrolls and tefillin and mezuzot. So according to this Mishnah, you basically have to write, any holy book has to be written on parchment with special ink in the Assyrian script, which seems to contradict our Mishnah, which says that a Torah scroll can be written without all of these restrictions. Okay, so that's the contradiction. The question we're dealing with is, how do we resolve the contradiction between some sources which seem to indicate that a Torah scroll can be written in other languages with another source that says a Torah scroll cannot be written in other languages? And we're going to give five solutions to the question. I put this also on the reference sheet. And we'll hopefully, we'll try to pick the one that makes the most sense. Okay. Lo kasha, there is no question between these two sources because they're dealing with different topics. We're now at the top of 9a, daf tet amud aleph, first word. Kan be gufan shelanu, kan be gufan shelahen. In the Mishnah, when we say that it is permissible to write a Torah in other languages, we're not talking about other languages. We're talking about a script or a font. So if you're writing a Torah that is in a different language, but you're using Hebrew letters, that's permitted. Kan begufan shelahen, in the Braita where it's talking about how you cannot write it in other languages, that means if you're writing it actually using the other language's script or letters. Okay? Amar le Abaye. Abaye said, "B'mai okimta lahi begufan shelahen." How could you establish the Braita as referring to them writing it in another language besides Hebrew? My iria, how will you explain, or what is the meaning? Mikra shekatavo targum, that the scriptural word is written in Aramaic, and Aramaic that's written in scripture. Right, so here you're talking about toggling back and forth between Hebrew and Aramaic. He says, afilu mikra shekitavo mikra, even if you kept the same word, but you wrote it in a different language. Vitargum, or you took the Aramaic and shekitavo targum, and you kept it in Aramaic, but you wrote it in the different script. Nami, then it would also be forbidden, but the Braita doesn't say that. Or this, sorry, not, they sometimes call it a Braita, but this Mishnah in Yadayim, it doesn't say that. It only says if you switch languages. So it can't really be talking about script. It's clearly talking about language. Dehakatani, because it's written, Achiichtevenu, Ashurit. It has to be written in the Assyrian Hebrew, Al HaSefer, on parchment, Bidyo, in ink. So that solution to the problem is inadequate. It does not explain the words of the competing Mishnah correctly. Ella, so we'll give a second solution. Lokasha, there's no problem between these two sources. Ha Rabbanan, Ha Rabban Shimon Gamliel. As we saw in the Mishnah, we have a dispute between the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The rabbis seem to say a Torah can be written in any language, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says it can only be written in Greek. So perhaps the Mishnah in Yadayim simply agrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that you cannot write the Torah in all the other languages. But that doesn't really explain it either. As the Gemara says, E Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if you're trying to say that it agrees with him, Ha ika yivanit. What about Greek? The Mishnah in Yadayim doesn't say that you can write it in all, that you can't write it in any language except for Greek, or except for one language. It says you can't write it in any language at all. But Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel thinks you can write it in Greek. So those two opinions do not match up at all. So that gets rid of our second solution. Ella lo kasha. Okay, no, we'll try a third solution. There's no problem between the two sources. Kan b'svarim, kan b'tfilin u'mezuzot. We could be dealing with the difference between Torah scrolls and tfilin and mezuzot. So our Mishnah talks about both, but perhaps the Mishnah in Yadayim is only talking about tfilin and mezuzot. And since we know in tfilin and mezuzot that we're more strict, you cannot write them in other languages, so maybe the second Mishnah is only talking about those and not talking about Torah scrolls. And we have a good reason to say that. Tefillin and mezuzot, my taima. What is the reason why we're so strict about tefillin and mezuzot that they can only be written in Assyrian script? Mishum dichtiv behu, because it's written in the first paragraph of the Shema, which is the parchment that's written inside of tefillin and mezuzot. It says, V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela, and it shall be that these words, in other words, the words that teach us the mitzvah of tefillin and mezuzot, so when it says v'hayu, the rabbis understand, and it shall be, b'havayatan yehu, they have to be the way they are. In other words, they must be in their original script. Therefore, you cannot change tefillin and mezuzot to any other kind of script or language. That's the source. So our suggestion is that the second Mishnah is only talking about tefillin and mezuzot and not about Torah scrolls. But the Gemara doesn't accept this answer either because it has questions. I'm now 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines down from the top, right in the last two words of the line. What does the Mishnah mean then when it says, Targum shekitavo mikra? An Aramaic word which is written as a Hebrew word, ika, where do you find that? Like, is there any Aramaic word that's found in tefillin and mezuzot? You're arguing that this Mishnah is talking about tefillin and mezuzot, but there is no Aramaic found in the sections of scripture that are put inside of tefillin and mezuzot. There is Aramaic in Tanakh, but not inside of tefillin or mezuzot. So, you know, the Mishnah could only make sense if there's an example of Aramaic written in Hebrew. Otherwise, how could it be talking about tefillin and mezuzah? Bishlama Torah, the Torah, it makes sense. Ika, there is a situation where we have Aramaic in the Torah. It's actually in next week's, it's at the end of this week's Parsha. Yigar Sahaduta, there is a section in the Torah, in if you look on the side, you'll see it's in Genesis 31, Bereshit Lamed Aleph, when Yaakov and Lavan make a peace treaty between themselves, and they put up a stone monument to seal the treaty between them. So they Lavan calls this monument to their treaty, he calls it a Yegar Sahaduta, which is actually two Aramaic words. So you actually have two Aramaic words found in the Torah. Surprise. Now, those Aramaic words are written that way in the Torah, so you can't change them. Now, what happens is Yaakov calls that same monument by its Hebrew name. He calls it Gal-Ed, which means Mound of Testimony. So, Yegar Sahaduta in Aramaic is the same as Gal-Ed in Hebrew. So, when you're writing those verses as a scribe, you have to write the section of the verse that says Yegar Sahaduta in Aramaic, and you have to write Gal-Ed in Hebrew. You can't switch them. When the Torah writes Yegar Sahaduta, you can't fill in the Hebrew translation of Gal-Ed. And when the Torah writes Gal-Ed, you can't put in Yegar Sahaduta. You have to write it the way it is. So we have a situation where a Torah scroll would become invalidated if someone swapped out Yegar Sahaduta and wrote in Gal-Ed instead. So that we have an example, because we actually have Aramaic in the Torah. Elahacha, but here in the case of tefillin and mezuzot, my targum ika, what Aramaic is there? So that kind of throws that whole solution that the Mishnah is only talking about tefillin and mezuzot under the bus, because it can't, that can't be the solution. So fine, we're going to come to a fourth solution. Ela lo kasha, there's no distinction between the two Mishnahs. Kan b'megillah, Kan bisvarim. The Mishnah in Yadayim is actually not talking about Torah, and it's not talking about tefillin, and it's not talking about mezuzot. It's only talking about Megillat Esther. And it's saying Megillat Esther must be written on parchment with special ink only in the Assyrian script. Kan bisvarim. But our Mishnah is talking about Torah scrolls, which can be written in any language. And it is kind of strange, though, that we would be so stringent related to writing the Megillah and so lax, lenient about writing Torah scrolls. But there's a special reason. Megillah my taima. What is the reason why we're so strict with writing the Megillah? And by the way, in halachic practice, we are not so strict with writing the Megillah. We do write it in Assyrian script with special ink on parchment, but the rules of how carefully it must be written are not nearly as strict in actual halachic practice as they are for Torahs. And even the rules of Torah are not nearly as strict as the rules of tefillin and mezuzah, as tefillin. Tefillin are the most stringent of all the rules that apply to their writing. Anyway, why would we be so strict with Megillah? Dichtiv ba, because it's written in the Megillah that it should be written kichtavam, like their script, v'chilshonam, and like their language. So in the Megillah itself, it indicates that the Megillah should be written exactly in the script and language that it was written in originally. So therefore, we would be strict to say that you cannot change the script or the language of the Megillah. Okay, so that's an additional solution, but we still don't like this solution, because we have questions. My targum shekitavo mikra ika. Same question. Where do you have Aramaic in the Megillah? It only makes sense if you can find me an example where I would have an Aramaic word in the Megillah that I would write in a Hebrew word, that I would write instead the Hebrew translation of it, therefore invalidating the Megillah. So we have two suggestions for where you might find Aramaic. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, here's the Aramaic example. In the first chapter of the Megillah, it says, V'nishma pitgam hamelech, and let the pitgam of the king be heard. Pitgam is like a message or a writing, and it's still used in modern Hebrew today. So Rav Papa is saying that word pitgam is actually not a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is dvar, so it should say, and let the word of the king be heard, v'nishma dvar hamelech. When it writes pitgam, that's actually an Aramaic word. So because that's in the original Megillah, you have to write it as pitgam. If you were to instead write the Hebrew word dvar, it would invalidate the Megillah. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, there's a different example, also in the first chapter of the Megillah. V'chol ha'nashim yitnu yikar l'va'alehen. This is Memuchan, who is arguing to Achashverosh that he should kill Vashti because she has been disrespectful to the king, because when he ordered her to appear before all of his citizens, she refused. So he says, well, if you make an example out of Vashti, all the other women in the kingdom will show proper respect to their husbands. So it says, V'chol ha'nashim, all the women, yitnu yikar, they will show respect to lebalehen, to their husbands. So he says the word yikar is also an Aramaic word. The proper Hebrew word would be kavod. It should say, and all the women will give kavod lebalehen. By writing yikar, it's an Aramaic word. So that would be an example where you have an Aramaic word that you cannot substitute a Hebrew word for. So those are our two possibilities. So far the fourth answer seems to be going well. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, Kitanya hahi, when that braitha is written, that the one in Yadayim, Bishar Svarim, it's actually talking about not, this is the fifth answer. So we don't reject the fourth answer. There's no refutation of it, but we give a fifth answer in addition. So this is the fifth answer. The fifth answer is, Rav Ashi says, the Mishnah in Yadayim is referring to only Nevi'im and Ketuvim. This is the first time we've split Tanakh up. Anytime we've been talking about Sfarim, we talked about Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Here we're splitting them up. So that Mishnah in Yadayim is only referring to Nevi'im and Ketuvim, not to Torah scrolls, but to prophets and writings. Okay? So those we're very strict on. They have to be written on parchment with ink in Assyrian script. But the Torah we're more lenient on. And again, we feel like that's a little bit backwards, like we should be more strict with the Torah. But that's what Rav Ashi says. V'Rabbi Yehuda hi. And it goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Ditanya, that we learn in a Braita. Tfilin u'mizuzot ein nichtavin ela ashurit. Tefillin and mezuzot can only be written in the Assyrian Hebrew block script. V'rabotenu hitiru yivanit. But our rabbis permitted tefillin and mezuzot to be written in Greek. Now this is, by the way, new to us, because we know that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel permitted Torah scrolls to be written in Greek, and also the rabbis did, but our Mishnah says that you can't write tefillin and mezuzot in Greek or in any other language. V'akativ, isn't it written the hayu? We gave a proof because it says v'hayu advarim ha'ela, these words shall be as they are, so then you can't change them. That's what we said above. Ella, okay, so we obviously didn't get it exactly right. We're going to modify it. Ella, rather, ema sfarim nichtavim b'chol lashon. Let's say that it's not tefillin and mezuzot that can be written in any language, but it is nevi'im and ketuvim that can be written in any other language. V'rabotenu hitiru yivanit, and our rabbis permitted it to be written in Greek. Hitiru? What do you mean they permitted it to be written in Greek? The language doesn't make sense. Miklal de Tanakama asar? You're telling me that the first opinion in our Mishnah said that it was forbidden to write we're not talking about Nevi'im and Ketuvim here, we're talking about Torah scrolls. That the Tanakama, the first opinion in our Mishnah said that it was forbidden to write a Torah in Greek? That's not true. The first opinion in the Mishnah said you could write it in any language. So the idea of saying that it could write in any other language, and then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was more lenient, our rabbis were more lenient, it doesn't make sense according to the words. Ella, so we'll try a third version. Here's the proper version. Ema, I will say, Rabotenu lo hitiru sheyichtevu. Our rabbis did not permit you to write a Torah scroll in any language, Ella Yivanit, except for Greek. Vitanya, and then we learn in a Braita, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Af kishehitiru rabotenu yivanit. Even when our rabbis permitted a Torah scroll to be written in Greek, lo hitiru, they didn't permit it, Ella b'sefer Torah, except for a Torah scroll, meaning not the prophets and the writings, just the Torah scroll. And they actually never wanted the Torah to be written in Greek, but because there's this story of Ptolemy, who was the king of Egypt, the rabbis got put in a position where they had to permit writing the Torah in Greek. So the final upshot of our conversation here is that what we want to say is the only thing that can be written in another language is a Torah scroll. And the only language that it can be written in is Greek. And even as far as writing the Torah in Greek, the rabbis would never have allowed it, except for the story of Ptolemy the king, which is what we're going to discuss in our next recording, because this is the story of the Septuagint and how the Torah got written in Greek in the first place, which is a really interesting, fascinating story that we will discuss in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.